In Islam's teachings, goodness takes the lead. Choosing what's right fulfills every need. Invitation to virtue. Invitation to virtue.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ. الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا حبیب اللہ. الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا نور اللہ. My dear viewers and Madni channel, welcome back to another episode, Invitation to Virtue. Alhamdulillah, my dear viewers and Madni channel, in our previous episode we were talking about invitation to virtue in regards to how to reconcile with one another, how to treat relatives good, how to treat them nicely. Inshallah, so we're carrying that forward into today's episode also. We will talk on further and talk more about invitation to virtue. But before we dive into the topic at hand, let's listen to a virtue of reciting durood upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said, O people, indeed the one amongst you to attain quick salvation from his horrors and accountability on the Day of Judgment will be the one who has recited salat upon me in this world abundantly. Another narration of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he states, you recite salat upon me abundantly. Undoubtedly your recitation of salat upon me is a means of forgiveness of your sins. So therefore, my dear viewers of Madni channel, we want our sins to be forgiven. We want the closeness of Nabi Ikram alayhi salatu salam on the Day of Judgment. Then wholeheartedly recite durood, peace and blessings upon the best of creation alayhi salatu wasalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madni channel, the Madni pearls which were mentioned in our previous episode, D7, of treating people nicely, of relatives with nicely, this deserves a great consideration. Because the seventh part, which I will repeat again, was kind treatment does not only mean treating those relatives kindly who have treated you kindly. This would be an exchange of treatment. For example, sending a gift to only those Madi viewers of Madi channel. Someone sent you a gift, you only give them a gift. You don't give a gift to those people that are never sent to you, even though you're relatives. You only visit the house of those people that visit your house. You only call them for a dawah, who those people that call you for a dawah, invitation for food. Another example that can be given that is very common these days. If a relative has not invited the other relative to a wedding ceremony, the latter does not also invite the former. If someone has invited his relative with more people, then the latter has invited the former with fewer people. The former resents it greatly and expresses his anger by criticizing and backbiting. Similarly, if a relative does not attend a ceremony of other people, the other boycotts the ceremony taking place at home of that relative, and therefore widening the gap between them. But if you use Madni channel, I've received a lot of information, a lot of people mentioning to me that sometimes in back home what happens is that arguments, even it goes to killing sometimes, that one person has not invited the other person for wedding and they haven't invited theirs, and for generation upon generation upon generation there's this, you know, narazgi, this upsetness that they have in between them, and they don't even talk. Why? Because two people just decided to, on a little matter, decided to be upset with one another, and it continued for generations. And this is wrong, my dear viewers of Madni channel. Anyway, my dear viewers of Madni channel, whether he informs us of the cause of his absence or not, we should have positive thinking, reaping the reward of paving our own way to Jannah. Because the Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah, the owner of Jannah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْعِبَادَةِ. Positive thinking is one of the nice acts of worship. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala has stated, that is, having positive thinking about Muslims and not having an ill opinion about them is also one of the acts of excellent worship. And Madhi views of Madhi channel, even if our relative has not deliberately met us because of laziness or any other reason, or has not invited us, or has openly mistreated us, even if he's done all of this, we should always still try to maintain ties with him, showing broad-mindedness. Because Sayyidina Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, one who wants a palace to be built for him in Jannah and his ranks to be raised should forgive the one who oppresses him, bestow upon the one who deprives him, and keep relations with the one who breaks off relations with him. So if you want a Jannah, my dear viewers and money channel, just because someone's cut the relation off with you doesn't mean you cut off with them, if it's a permissible one. And therefore treat them nicely, even if they don't treat you nicely, because a palace will be ready for you in Jannah. Whether or not anyone treats us gracefully or not, we should always treat him gracefully, my dear viewers upon the channel. It is mentioned in a narration, in a hadith, in a narrated in the book, Musnad Imam Ahmad. Inna afdala sadaqati as-sadaqatu ala dhi rahimi kashihi. The most preferred sadaqah is the one that is given to a relative who hides enmity. My dear viewers of Mani channel, the leader of the believers, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, would provide for his maternal cousin, Sayyiduna Mistah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a very poor companion and had taken part in the migration also, as in the Battle of Badr. Sayyiduna Mistah radiallahu ta'ala anhu caused great pain to Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu by favoring those who had laid a false blame on his beloved daughter. This incident is given later on, inshallah, I'll mention. But extremely sad, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu swore not to provide for him anymore because his daughter was accused of something which didn't happen. And what did he do? He swore that not to provide for him any longer. Upon this, the verse ayah number 22 of Surah An-Nur, part 18 was revealed. The ayah is as follows. وَلَا يَأْتَلِي أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And swear not those among you who are possessors of excellence, of worldly means, to give to the kinsmen and to the needy and to the immigrants in the way of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and they should forgive and overlook. Do you not like that Allah may forgive you? And Allah is forgiving, the most merciful. After the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited this verse, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said, I wish that Allah forgave me, and I would never discontinue providing for Mistah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So therefore, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu resumed assisting him financially. And if a person has sworn not to do a certain lawful thing, but later on he learns that doing that thing is better, so he should do it and pay kafara, expiation, for breaking the oath. This is stated in an authentic hadith. An Allama Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh has further stated, this verse shows the greatness and the high rank of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that in the verse Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said the words ulul fadl for him, i.e. the one who has superiority. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala have mercy on him and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen bijahin nabiyyi al-ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madni channel, there are many other places that one can do invitation to virtue, that any opportunity he gets. For example, that those people who seize lands, who take other people's lands dishonestly, being treacherous, by force, they seize their land, they take control of their land, they don't give them anything. One can do invitation to virtue to these people as well. Dishonest landlords, farmers, village chiefs, who have seized hired farm lands of people, and those who have seized others' lands by bribery, and those who have had buildings constructed upon them, should all repent immediately and make up for the people's rights they have violated. Ala Hazrat, a hadith is stated in the books of Sahih Muslim. The Holy Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one unjustly taking someone's as much piece of a land as a handspan will be made to swear the mantles of seven earth around his neck on the day of judgment. And many individuals, my dear viewers of Madni channel, when they do this, what they do, they block the path. public path, not to private property, is a public path, and unlawfully, illegally, they block the path. Not only is it illegal to do so, but it's unethical. And Sharia has something to say in this regard as well, that some people unlawfully block public paths, thus causing severe discomfort to the people in some cases. For example, what happens, my dear viewers on Bandi channel? This is something that we should take care of. During the days of Eid al-Adha or Eid al-Fitr, especially in England or in back home in Pakistan and India, some people unlawfully block the whole streets and some places for the purpose of selling, renting out, or slaughtering sacrificial animals. But whereas in England, for example, the small Eid, Eid al-Fitr, what happens is that parking is full because Eid Jamaat is full. What do? We park on places that we're not supposed to be parking if it doesn't cause anyone issue. But when it does, then we, you know, for example, you block the road off, the traffic is slow, the traffic jam, everything's happening, people can't cross, health and safety hazard. This is what happens, my dear viewers and Bandi channel. Another thing that people do, some people throw away garbage and litter on paths, causing trouble to others. Some people purchase sand and steel for construction, and then the heaps of these things remain lying unnecessarily on public paths for months, even after construction. For example, on the occasion of marriage, funeral, niyaz, meal and sweets, for example, some people in some countries of the world cook food in cauldrons, handi, a large round pots, in streets that sometimes leave crates, large holes in the ground. These craters are then filled with mud and dirty water, causing diseases and spread by mosquitoes. So all these things, my dear viewers, look how deep the Islam goes into. That we need to think as well that this will cause discomfort to certain individuals. Imam Ibn Hajar Makki Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala included the act of occupying public pathways in major sins. He rahmatullahi ta'ala has stated, it is a major sin to make unlawful use of public pathway, causing severe trouble to passing people. Describing the reason of it being a major sin, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated that the act involves causing trouble to people, an unlawful violation of their rights. Because the Nabi Karim alayhi sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated, if someone took one hand span piece of land oppressively, the manacles made from that much part of seven earths will be put around his neck on the day of judgment. So this is something, my dear viewers on Madni channel, that we should be very, very cautious of. And these people that do false oaths and describing the harms caused by false oath, Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has mentioned, false oath makes homes deserted. He rahmatullahi ta'ala further states, although paying expiation is not obligatory for one deliberately swearing a false oath about a past matter, his punishment is that he will be made to dive into the boiling water of hell. My dear viewers and Madni channel, just ponder, Allah Azza wa Jalla has created us. He Azza wa Jalla is the creator of the entire universe. He Azza wa Jalla knows everything and nothing is hidden from him. He Azza wa Jalla even knows the secrets of the hearts. He Azza wa Jalla is Rahman. He Azza wa Jalla is Rahim. He Azza wa Jalla is Qahhar. He Azza wa Jalla is Jabbar. How unwise the person is he who swears a false oath mentioning the name of the creator of the universe just for the sake of some coins and temporary worldly benefit. And this has happened, my dear viewers on Bandi channel, that for example, people pick qasam. Oh, qasme, I did this, qasme, yes, qasme, that, qasme, this, qasme, that. But in reality, they are lying. In reality, they are lying by using Allah's name. My dear viewers on Bandi channel, there's one story that I like to mention as well. That there was one hypocrite whose name was Abdullah bin Nabtal. And he would attend the court of Nabi Akram alayhi salatu wasalam and would pass on secret information to a certain group. One day, whilst present in the blessed house, Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that a very hard-hearted man who sees with the eyes of shaitan will come. So Nabi Akram alayhi salam was in the house. So they said this, that a very hard-hearted man who sees with the eyes of shaitan will come. So what happened? Soon Abdullah bin Nabtal came. His eyes were blue. Beloved and the blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, why do you and your companions call us names? He swore that he did not do so. He then brought his companions, who also swore that they had not called him names. Upon this, the following verse was revealed. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ تولوا قوما غضب الله عليهم وما هم منكم ولا منهم ويحلفون على الكذب وهم يعلمون. Did you not see those who befriended those people upon whom Allah's wrath was? They are neither of you nor of them, and they swear falsely whilst they know. And it is stated that a person will be made to stand in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla on the Day of Judgment. Allah Azza wa Jalla will give the command that he be taken to the fire of hell. The person will humbly ask, Ya Allah, why am I being sent to hell? Allah Azza wa Jalla will say, you are being sent to hell because of offering salah after the elapsing of their timing and swearing false oaths mentioning my name. So we have to be very, very careful, my dear viewers of Madni channel, that do not lie. Number one, don't lie. And especially don't lie by saying, taking an oath, saying wallahi and then lying. Saying qasme and then lying. So don't do this, my dear viewers of Madni channel. Sayyidina Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated, the Rasul of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah, the owner of Jannah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, there are three types of people to whom Allah Azza wa Jalla will not speak, nor will He Azza wa Jalla see them with mercy, nor will He Azza wa Jalla purify them. In fact, there is severe punishment for them. Sayyidina Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu was further stated, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this three times. So I said that these people would be ruined. Who are they? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that those three people are the one hanging his tahband. Tahband is a piece of shawl worn to cover the lower part of the body from the waist to the ankles. So the one hanging his tahband because of arrogance. The one boasting of favor that he did for someone. And number three, the one selling his goods by swearing a false oath. My dear viewers of Madni channel, remember that false oaths, they remove blessings. The above narration contains a lesson, especially for those traders and shopkeepers who sell their defective products and earn undue profit on low standard items by swearing false oaths without feeling ashamed. There is a matter of concern for them, as the Nabi Akram alayhi salatu salam has stated, goods get sold by false oath, blessing gets removed by it. If you're stuck, gets sold due to you taking false oaths, then blessing is removed due to it. He further states, oath gets good sold and removes blessings. Commenting about the hadith, my dear viewers of Madni channel, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala stated, removal of blessing here means either the ruin of business in the future, or loss in the sale, or purchase made by a false oath. In other words, if you palm off defective items onto someone, he will no longer do business with you, nor will he let anyone else do so, after he has realized the fraud that you have committed. It is also possible that the money you earned will have no blessings in it, as haram money has no blessing in it. There's one waqia I like to mention, that once a person came into the caliph, and upon this waqia, inshallah, we finish today's episode. Once a person came to a caliph, Abdul Malik, and said in panic, Your Majesty, I am an extreme sinner and want to know whether or not my sin is forgivable. The Caliph said, Is your sin bigger than even the sky and earth? He replied, Yes. The Caliph asked again, Is your sin bigger than even the lawh and the qalam? He replied, Yes. The Caliph asked once again, Is your sin bigger than even the arsh and the kursi? He replied, Yes. The Caliph then said, Your sin certainly cannot be bigger than the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Listen to this, he burst into tears and began to cry uncontrollably. The Caliph said, Let me know what your sin is. Upon hearing this, he said, I feel greatly ashamed telling it to you, but I am going to mention it in hope of finding a way of repentance. Saying this, he related his terrible story in these words. He says, Your Majesty, I am a shroud stealer. I have learned a lesson tonight from what I saw in five different graves I dug to steal shrouds. Describing the condition of a grave, he said, When I dug the second grave for stealing the shroud, I saw an extremely frightening scene. The face of the deceased has transformed into the face of a pig and he was manacled, unchanged. A voice of the ghaib said, he used to swear false oaths and earn haram sustenance. So my dear viewers of Madni Channel, this is the end that happens to a person who earns haram sustenance, and especially that person who takes false oaths. And moreover, is mentioned in narration that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, if a person swears on oath and adds lie to it, equivalent to a wing of a mosquito, look how small that wing is, then the oath will turn into a black spot onto his heart till the day of judgment. Till the day of judgment. For example, even a majority of what we have said is true, but if we add even a small lie, even to the size of a wing of a mosquito, which is very small, then that oath will turn into a black spot on his heart till the day of judgment. So my dear viewers of Madni Channel, one should tremble with fear of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Certainly no one can bear the divine torment. If we have ever sworn false oaths, repent from this sin without any delay. And always keep in mind, if you have ever need to swear an oath, then swear only the truthful oath. And if a Muslim ever swears an oath in our presence, my dear viewers of Madni Channel, we should believe his oath, forming a positive opinion about him. Because Imam Sharfuddin Nawawi rahimahumullah has stated that it is mustahab to believe the oath sworn by a fellow Muslim and to fulfill it, providing there is no fear or turmoil. Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has reported that Nabi Akram alayhi salatu wasalam has stated that Sayyiduna Isa bin Maryam once saw a person steal something. So he alayhi salatu wasalam said, you have stolen. He replied, by the one except whom no one is worthy to be worshipped, i.e. Allah, I have not stolen anything. Even though Isa alayhi salatu wasalam saw him physically, but he said, he took an oath and he said, I have not stolen anything. Therefore, listening to this, Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said, I believe in Allah and withdraw what I have said. Allahu Akbar, my dear viewers of Madni Channel. Did you see how nicely Sayyiduna Isa Ruhullah alayhi salatu wasalam treated the one who saw an oath? And reflecting the blessed feelings of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam about the oath swearing person, the great thing of Ummah Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala stated, because of the oath you have sworn, I have assumed that you have spoken the truth, because a Muslim cannot swear a false oath to Allah, as he has a great respect for the name of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in his heart. I have presumed, I have had a misunderstanding, and what I saw was a mistake of my eyesight. MashaAllah. MashaAllah, these are the blessed individuals, my dear viewers of Madni Channel, that despite even seeing what's happening in front of you, they blame their own eyes. So therefore, my dear viewers of Madni Channel, coming towards the end of our episode today, we do dua in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He enables us, he allows us to repent if we have ever made a false oath, and firmly follow in the footsteps of Nabi Akram alayhi salatu wasalam. If needed to take an oath, may Allah allow us to take a truthful oath. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
In Islam's teachings, goodness takes the lead. Choosing what's right fulfills every need.